Annie Meringue.
Dusty Bun?
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or on twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Thanks for partying on, you party people on the YouTube stream. A very active YouTube stream today. Must have been a big game over the weekend.
Nah.
Yep, got all sorts of people fired up. There's something that's still looming out of this Oregon and Ohio State game, which is, does this change anything in the perception of Dan Lanning or Ryan Day? Because the one thing that Lanning had been criticized for as a coach, and we heard it leading up, you know, you had talking heads say it. You had fans of both teams saying Lanning has not won the big one yet. And this game, the magnitude of it, it felt different leading into the game. And for Dan Lanning, he even admitted to it, it felt different after the game.
Coach, we talk about this every week. 1-0. This 1-0 feels a little bit different. Is it?
I want to say no, but it's different. That was an unbelievable team that we just played. You know, and you come to Oregon to play in games like this, big moments like this. Obviously, that was a crazy one. There was a lot of fun. Our guys battled to the very end. Two good teams. And, you know, we came out on top tonight.
I thought that the game, the preparation, the game plan, having your guys ready, I don't know if we have seen Oregon be as ready and play as complete of a game as what we saw on Saturday. And it was on the biggest stage you possibly can. That is a massive pelt on the wall for Dan Lanning.
I mean, that's his first big pelt. That's the first big game win. It doesn't get the monkey off the backs, so to speak, but it is a massive. I mean, it's the biggest win in Autzen.
In the history of Autzen Stadium. I think, look, fans are saying it. Like, the environment, the atmosphere, the way the game played out, it was the best football game played in Autzen Stadium.
I mean, and it's their best regular season win. I don't think that's an argument in modern history. I mean, you're talking about the number two team in the country comes in and you handle business. Like, that's...
And it wasn't, I mean, as much as Ohio State fans on message boards want to say it or Twitter or whatever, that was not a fluke.
No.
It was not a fluky win the way that it played
this
out.
This wasn't a bunch of luck that went Oregon's way. I think it was a pretty poorly officiated game on both sides, to be honest.
Yeah.
Ohio State, if you could say, wants to get away with the early interception, I thought Oregon got away with being a little handsy in the secondary sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Like, both sides were handsy in the secondary, and they just didn't call it.
Yeah. So I thought it was, you know, pretty consistent throughout as far as that stuff. So for me, I look at this and I kind of laugh because Ohio State's calling for the Ohio State fans are calling for Ryan Day's head.
Yeah.
And
we knew that this was going to come for whichever team lost. And it was a 1-point game that could have gone either way.
That Ohio State had a chance to possibly win.
And a lot of the same fans that are saying they got screwed at the end of the game with the offensive pass interference or we should have been able to call a timeout. You're also the same fans that are calling for Ryan Day's head, too. A lot of the exact same people. I think that for Lanning, it was huge. He gets that big pelt on the wall. It was that game. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. They won that football game. His staff and his guys that are in the program now, where he's recruited these guys via high school, the transfer portal, whatever it may be, these are Dan Lanning's guys, and that was the biggest game and the biggest stage that they've been on, and they won that game. I think it is big in that regard. I don't think any sweeping judgments of either one of these coaches should be made on the outcome of that game. For Lanning the win, Day the loss, they're still really good coaches.
And they're probably going to meet up again at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they very well could if Ohio State takes care of their business because, look, everybody's saying, hey, the rematch is coming in Indy. Well, Indiana right now is 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
They play Ohio State. Penn State is 6-0.
Yep.
They are playing Ohio State, and they have taken both those teams have taken care of their business so far.
And you still have Michigan, who, despite not being what they are,
I mean, they got to figure out how to throw the ball.
Well, yes, but I'm saying forward. As far as beating Ohio State, that that game always you have to throw everything out. For that
having
game.
Watched those two teams, Ohio State
should mop
is going to mop the floor.
They should, but again, rivalry games.
Mm-hmm. Weird things happen.
Weird things happen.
Tennessee's way better than Florida, and that game came down to the wire. There's still a lot of football, and look, Oregon is in a, and we'll talk about this game as the week goes on. They're in a really weird spot where you go to West Lafayette, where it's going to be the environment will not be anything near what you played in this past.
No, and it might be a bit of a letdown.
You have to fight the letdown because it's not just going on the road.
You don't want to get vandied.
Now you're talking about road teams 3-10 traveling two time zones in Big Ten play, and Penn State picking up that third win with their win over USC. The other two have been against UCLA, which I'm not quite sure how much credence we're going to put into that. But it's really hard to do. You're doing it on a short week after an emotional win, and emotions go high. You have to turn the page immediately. We talked about this leading into the Michigan State game, right? The short turnaround
not
after the travel, after a late game to UCLA. Yeah, now you have, all right, you just, the game that everybody had circled on their calendar, in as much as the coaches, the players, they say every single week the right thing. You know, we haven't been looking ahead. And to their credit, they hadn't with the way they handled Michigan State and UCLA the weeks leading up to the Ohio State game. But they all knew the magnitude of that game. The letdown on a short week on the road, you cannot have that against an inferior opponent. You cannot have that.
No.
And that's the task where they got to celebrate that Saturday night, probably into Sunday morning.
Mm.
And then you have to turn the page almost immediately.
Yeah, because you have a short week. Because
that's a hard thing to do,
yeah,
man.
You don't get the Monday off.
Yeah. I think the bigger win in this is, I think, Oregon fans in Autzen Stadium with all the flowers that they're getting after this. Tsunami on Twitter has been posting.
Capturing all the audio from the country.
The screenshots of the Ohio State message boards.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read you some of the highlights. I wish all OSU fans could have attended a game to see what a real home field advantage feels like. 60,000 fans doubling the loudest I've ever heard the shoe and keep it up the entire game. Not just fourth and one situation. Also, Oregon might have the nicest fans you'll ever meet. Overall, Eugene, definitely worth the trip for future games. Another one. That sure was an advantage. I had to lower the volume on my TV because I couldn't stand to hear them anymore. They won't have that advantage next time we play them, which will be in the horseshoe.
Yeah.
I like this one. The blue hairs at OU, which this is how you know they're not an Oregon fan.
Yes.
They call it OU, are engaged and stand and get loud. Likely because people out here are more active, less obese, and are shamed into it.
I mean, it's probably not wrong.
Another one said, I was in the stadium, and unless you were there, you have no idea what a complete snake pit that is to play in. How many teams go in there and come out with a win? No more than one or two. And we are in the one or two. No, you're not, because you lost. He says, Oregon is an underdog, literally and figuratively. They don't get annoyed. They just double down on it. The best environment I've ever seen in a road venue in any sport, and I've been to a lot of stadiums. The architectural design is cool. It's as loud as advertised. The student section is incredible. The traditions they have there are really cool and contribute to keeping up the crowd and keeping them rowdy. The tailgating scene is like OSU's used to be in the 90s before Karen Holbrook, in the university leadership began cracking down on everything and getting rid of things like Hinnegate. Don't know what that is. They play a song called Coming Home at the end of the first quarter and shout at the end of the third quarter. Everyone gets into it. The shoe used to be formidable, but it's nowhere as close to intimidating since the university priced out tailgaters and average fans. I found myself less enthused about going to home games compared to 5 to 10 years ago because of it. Autzen, by contrast, is a fortress.
Well, I will say about as far as pricing fans out, Autzen was not cheap this weekend.
No, it wasn't.
It was $2,000 to get in the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you didn't have season tickets, that's what you were paying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a buddy of mine told me his father-in-law was offered 25 G's for 6 tickets.
Didn't take it?
Didn't take it.
Must not need the money.
Went to the game. Yeah, I know, right? Must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Because that, look, even if I'm well off, that's a...
Yeah, that's a pretty, really good seats, too.
Begin.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You better have rushed the field.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to have to follow up and see.
Yeah, because
if the field was rushed.
If you didn't rush the field when the opportunity presented itself and you passed up 25 Gs.
Yeah, we'll see.
Did you get caught up in the swarm of that? Or did you be able to dodge it?
I was on the field, and then I saw the swarm, and I just started going, nope. I'm getting out of there. I'm getting out of there. So I backed all the way up.
So you didn't go out there with Ty Burrell?
No, I backed all the way up and
to the wall.
I took a picture. The crazy part about it, and I posted the picture on my Twitter @Dusty_Hara. If you look at the picture, the entire field is full of people.
Mm-hmm.
So are the stands.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, like, where are these people coming from? And then I turned. The entire student section was completely empty.
Yeah.
Well, student sections. It's like 5 sections now. They were completely empty. But the picture's crazy because when you look at it, you go, it seems like all of the people are still in the stands, yet it is shoulder to shoulder on the field. That was super cool to see.
Yeah.
And then I went back as I was walking on the field to go back up to the press box after everybody had been cleared out. There was a single shoe. Somebody lost a shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind, they did not even realize that they had still missing a shoe.
No.
Just what? It was a Vans.
There you go.
Just sitting there.
That tracks.
On the And that was it. Just a shoe.
It's a lone solitary shoe.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Big ups to security. There was big talk about Oregon fans wanting to tear down the goalposts and dump them into the Willamette River. It was the security guards, and then they had like police surrounding the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get past the guys in the blue windbreakers.
Yeah,
you're not getting past the guy with a gun to get to the goalpost.
Well, you can if you have enough of you.
Yeah,
let them throw it in the river.
It's a short trip to the river too.
Yeah, it's not a 3-mile walk like Vandy.
It's right out.
Let the kids have fun.
Although, how would they get them out?
You could take him up the tunnel.
Is the tunnel? That tunnel doesn't feel wide enough.
Yeah, you could get him up the tunnel.
Danny, it's drunk college kids. Come on now. There's no better ingenuity there.
I feel like there
guys.
Would just be like scrape marks along the inside of the
there's
wall.
There's two ways that you're going to get that out. You're going to try to go up the tunnel, and then if that doesn't work, you go up and you just push him over the edge. Right?
That's immediately where my head went.
That's where I was thinking, just like fork into the ground.
And then somebody's getting injured in that one.
No, they would have said Geronimo.
Yeah, like, hey, clear it out. It's going to be fine. We got plenty of room.
Oh, God.
That's the only two ways that happens.
I've been down that tunnel a couple of times. It feels pretty tight.
No, you go up the visitor's tunnel. I think that one is a little bit wider.
Okay.
I think you go up the visitor's tunnel, but then you also get into, you're going right past Ohio State's locker room, and that may get a little bit more hairy.
That's mildly problematic.
Because, dude, we're going streaking.
Yeah.
That would have been great. That would have been great. And to the texture, it says, Danny, it got in there somehow. They build it in there. So it's not like they took it in.
No, I agree with this guy. Got in there somehow.
Yeah, I mean, they
build it at the field goal post factory.
Somehow,
bring
some
it
way,
in,
man. Yeah. But I would have loved to have seen that because that would not have ended. That would not have ended well. There's no way that ends well. No. I mean, you could actually. They could have walked it up the student section. They wouldn't have had to throw it over. They could have walked it up because it ramps down.
Oh, you're right. Around. On the back side.
They could have just gone up and around and walked it down. Something tells me they still would have thrown it over, just college kids.
Yeah.
But you could have walked it up and
gone
around.
Yeah, that back side does open up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, because when you're walking up, you're like, oh, my God, how far do I have to go up this thing to get into the stadium?
We took the goalposts over the beam in 1990 after defeating UCLA for an unbeaten home season. Left it on the admin building footsteps. Oh, so how about that? Yeah.
Hmm.
That's what you got denied Saturday night because of security.
Vancouver Ford text line, just aim for the bush.
There go my heroes.
The other guys, just aim for the bushes.
You thinking what I'm thinking? top 10 opening to a movie.
Yeah, well, that was The Rock and Sam Jackson.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's get to some other games around the world of college football. Oregon State, man.
Oh, no.
That's a tough way to go. And then, Danny, you've been in your feelings over your Trojans lately.
Well, not in my feelings. It was more just...
Yeah, you're in your feelings. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
A tough one for the Beavs as they went down to Nevada and picked up a 42-37 loss to the Wolfpack of Nevada Reno. And this comes on the heels of Jeff Choate, the Nevada coach, saying this last week.
The Oregon State team is 4-1. Oregon State is, you know, I don't know if they know how to get to Reno. They've been in Corvallis forever. They've played, I think, four of their five games at home, including three in a row plus a bye. And so, I mean, I don't know who's scheduling for them, but I need to talk to them because that's a pretty nice schedule.
Well, Beavs did have to go on the road. It was their first road game since going to San Diego State week two of the season. And look, Beavs are shorthanded that against any team. When we talk about Oregon State was heading into the season, then we talk about them throughout the course of the season, the war of attrition is not the friend of Oregon State because the transfer portal plucked away at their depth, man. And everything that they had built up had been raided. And when you have a depth deficiency, every injury matters to the nth degree. And that wasn't the whole reason why Oregon State lost. I mean, Javonte McCoy throws four interceptions. The bigger thing to me was Nevada imposing their will, running the ball the way they did.
I mean, they threw the ball 13 times.
They just ran the rock down Oregon State's
throat. And
they
averaged 8 yards a carry.
Yeah. I mean,
which I don't think anybody saw coming.
Oh, obviously Nevada did.
Yeah. I mean, the game plan was very clearly run ball.
And right now, Oregon State is in a tough situation where the next, I mean, when you look at the schedule the rest of the way. Nevada, you go down on the road, you lose. UNLV, a team that was in the top 25, just picked up another win. They're not in the top 25 now. They come to Reser. Then you go on the road to Cal, which Cal has been
their
playing
game.
Decent football.
Their game.
San Jose State.
Which they're not, but they're pesky.
Well, okay.
They're pesky.
Let's take a look at San Jose State, which is 4-2 on the season as well.
And
right?
They gave Washington State hell.
They give a lot of teams
They're
hell.
Pesky.
They just went on the road. They lost to Colorado State. Mm-hmm. But you get San Jose State at home. Then you have the triple option in Air Force.
Yeah, but unfortunately my boys are the worst service academy this year.
Then you have Washington State, and then you go on the road to Boise State. There's not a lot of gimme. There's no gimmies there, especially.
The easiest game in there is Air Force, and which, reminder, even as bad as they are, number one, they're running veer option. Number two, you're playing at almost 8,000 feet.
And that.
Enjoy.
I mean, there's no gimmies in there.
No.
Because a lot of the winnable games, you got to go on the road. Yeah. Well, that winnable game against Air Force, you got to go on the road for. You'd feel a lot more comfortable if Cal was coming up to Reser. You got to go down to Berkeley for that one.
And you're at Boise State. The Smurf Turf is going to snatch your soul.
And Ashton Gentry could be making a Heisman statement
which
in that
game.
Which
means he's going to run the ball 45 times.
By the way, Ashton Gentry is on pace to shatter Barry Sanders' all-time rushing record. He is on pace to do it by 300 yards on, I think it's 30 fewer carries.
He's 100 yards ahead of him right now.
And a reminder, he has left games early twice.
Yeah.
Quick, who held him to the least amount of yards?
Portland State.
Your Portland State Vikings.
Go Vikes.
Did he have a... I know he played the first half, but did he have a carry in the second quarter?
He had 13 carries total.
Like I said, did he have a carry in the second quarter?
For 126.
That dude.
Bum. Didn't get 10 yards of carry. Bum.
That dude is absolutely absurd what he is able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it again against Hawaii, which... they did not cover that first half line of 10.5.
Didn't cover the game line either.
Missed
by half a point. As a Boise State better, it hurt my feelings.
That day, you go to the island, tough things happen there, right? He had 29 touches, 208 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Is that just rushing? Because he had one receiving, too.
Yeah.
He's a freak. But look, Oregon State, you got your work cut out for you.
He didn't even manage to average 10 yards a carry.
Mm.
Bum.
His yards per carry went down in that game, huh? Yeah. What is that guy going to ever do? That's a tough spot for Oregon State. And,
you had to come up big, man. Yeah. You had to have that.
You got to come up big at home. And I hope Oregon State fans show out, this week against UNLV. Cause this is a big game.
That's going to be a fun matchup.
Should be. Hopefully you get a little bit more healthy, but USC didn't have a great one either.
No, up 20-6 at the half and well in control of the game, and they puked it up. They've lost 3 straight, and they've lost 2 in regulation in the final minute and 1 in overtime. All 3 games, and as much as people are like, oh, USC sucks, blah, 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 it's like they should have won all 3 games. There's no argument. They should have won all 3 games, and it's the biggest issue for them right now is their offensive tackles. Keeping Miller Moss clean, allowing him to make plays. And when they do that, they're great. And when they don't, they get smacked.
That does not feel like a team that has a lot of faith and trust in each other.
No, I don't think they do, particularly because they've fallen apart in the final minutes. Final minute in 3 straight games.
Boy.
That's what happens.
Right now?
I mean, they by all rights and means, they should be undefeated. At worst, 5-1. At worst. And they haven't because they haven't executed in the final minute. It's literally what it's come down to.
That sounds like Lincoln Riley is going to be on the hot seat soon.
I mean, if they drop, the only other game that they have any business dropping is Notre Dame. That's the only other game they have any business dropping.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't drop that game. The only reason I say yes is because...
Nebraska could be a dicey one for them.
Dicey, sure. But, I mean, it's the same way the Minnesota game. It's the same thing. They had no business dropping that game.
Yeah.
Again, this is the team that I thought was going to win eight games.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Boy, not good for the Trojans right now.
No.
They had
a ton of momentum. They, you know.
When you're 3-3...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're saying the final minute thing, but this is not just this is a trend.
Oh, yeah, no, it is, 100%.
And it's not something that you sit there and you look at and you go, yeah, correctable, melting down in the final minute of the game.
The other part of it is you can't correct your tackles being able to protect. Miller Moss leads the country in hits.
It feels a lot like the way they went down to Utah last year, the way they went down to Washington last year. Didn't they lose to UCLA at the end of last year too?
Yeah.
In one of those games where it was like, what, how in the world are you dropping these games? That to me amplifies everything for Lincoln Riley. Yeah. And look, the momentum that they had made up on the recruiting trail, that's going to start going away.
Yes. It literally already happened today.
Yeah. If you missed it, Oregon has flipped and he's a 2026 recruit.
But I believe he's the number one pass rusher in the country.
He is a good one.
Yeah. Georgia? Georgia or Florida?
Where is he from?
Yeah, it's one of
Salt Lake City.
Oh, it's the other one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's 2 5-star pass rushers in 2026.
Yeah, Ami Moala.
Yeah.
That's a tough one right there.
Yep. So, and the plus side of today on the recruiting trail for USC was they flipped a safety from Ole Miss to USC about an hour ago.
3-star recruit there.
Yeah. Yeah. Not quite the same.
No. Not the same.
All right. Coming up next, worst day on the web. This one might pertain to our lovable producer today. A court has ruled calling a man bald as sexual harassment. Look at that.
Wow.
We'll get to that coming up the worst day. But first, here's Big Will Betts and Sports on Update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Mild tease before we went to the break there. We're going to have to get your take on this, Will Ortner. As a high court overseas, over the, across the pond, has ruled.
Oh, boy.
That calling a,
so this means nothing.
Yeah, of course.
It might mean something.
This is, I mean, we have Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had a lot of food takes.
I can't wait to go to Indiana. I'm going to Indiana on Thursday. I can't wait to take these people to task.
You're going to go to the taco shop and call it a sandwich?
I'm going
to
go. No. No.
You have to find a way to get to that taco shop if it's relatively close.
I will not.
Can you give me a Mexican sandwich?
No. No. I will not. God, they had two ridiculous rulings. That one and what was the other one they had? It was Indiana, don't talk to me about food.
And they were both, you know, quote unquote ethnic foods too. It wasn't like they were ruling on like fried whatever.
Can't have this. So. I can't have this. All right. So what are the European courts
saying? It's a lengthy legal case brought on by an electrician who claimed he was sexually harassed by his boss. I love the British English here. During a heated row in 2019.
During a heated row.
I love the word row.
Were they on the Thames? Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
Having a row is the argument, a tiff, as it were.
Yeah, I'm having to look this one up. It's a noisy argument or fight.
Yeah.
I've had lots of rows.
Oh, right?
Yeah, so have I.
I go rowing.
Yeah.
You on purpose look on Twitter for rows.
Mostly when you're on the toilet. Yeah. You row on Twitter.
I do.
When you're on the toilet.
Row the boat.
We've learned this about Danny.
Yeah, it's true. Mitch Finn, is 64-year-old, made the claim that against the British Bung Company.
Say that again?
British.
What's a bum company?
Bung.
Bung.
Oh. Like, as in, I need TP for my bunghole.
Same as the bum company.
Yeah. I was going to say, who's leading the bum company?
Mm-hmm. This is the BBC.
The Great Cornholio is.
Yes, is exactly.
Cardi B?
You're too young to know Beavis and Butthead, aren't you?
I'm well aware of Beavis and Butthead.
Are you aware of the Great Cornholio? And that he needs TP for his bunghole?
I'm well aware. Oh, Grand Slam.
Tony Finn worked as an electrician at the British Bung Company for over 24 years before he was fired in 2021. He said he was a victim of sexual harassment after comments were made about his baldness, including being called a stupid bald. See you next Tuesday.
Okay, hold on. Bung in British slang is slang for a bribe, a gratuity or tip, or congested. So
it's kind of a weird place
for Mucinex.
That's
for
an
electrical company. Well, maybe that's their British mob.
They take bribes.
Yeah.
All right. This is all starting to make sense a little bit more as I catch up on my British slang.
That sounds
all right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Let's scroll through all of the other text. The three-person employment tribunal panel said the remark crossed the line and dismissed an argument that the comment was not sexist because women can be bald too. The judgment said there was a connection between the word bald and the protected characteristic of sex, noting it was much more prevalent in men than women. We find it inherently related to sex. So he's going to end up winning this as a form of sexual harassment because it does pertain to one sex over the other.
Dang. Will, I apologize for all the times I have sexually harassed you.
HR has told me after I filed it, which I will file this complaint momentarily.
And since I call it a beautiful bald head.
Just because you call it a beautiful, like you couldn't go up to someone else and
I know
say like, hey,
yeah, I know.
I just took that course.
Now I
you're in trouble.
Now I am I know that by calling your head a beautiful bald head. It is, wow, I didn't realize, that has a far different connotation now that I'm sitting there saying, when you put it into the Bung Company's...
British Bung Company, the BBC.
The British Bung Company's, oh, that makes it better. The Bung Company's sexual harassment history, I feel like I have wronged you by calling your bald head
a beautiful
bald head. You should
definitely Google BBC and Bung.
No, don't do that. Don't do it at work. Don't do it at work. Highly not advised.
Don't do it.
Highly
unadvised. This is great. I've been waiting to frivolously sue someone. I'd like to frivolously sue all kinds of people. I get called bald all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can sue the schools.
What I found interesting here was the...
They call me bald all the time.
Oh, there you go. They put the asterisks on the see you next Tuesday. And I'm like...
Yeah, you can't say that. That's probably the worst.
No, not over there. Not over there, that is... Well, that is a very normal. The article I'm reading it from is not an American site.
Yeah,
it is from a British site.
That word goes everywhere, man.
I mean, even the most mild mannered person, uses that word frivolously.
That may be like over here. That's worse than the F word.
Oh yeah. Oh God, yes.
I mean, you say that. Oh dude. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's getting destigmatized.
No.
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 Uh-uh.
I know lots of people who use it.
No.
Oh, I bet you they don't use it to women.
No, you. It's the guys.
Yeah.
You use it with the guys. That's locker room.
Again. Yes. Now, that thing is over there. That word is not sexual harassment. It is fair game for everyone.
Yikes.
It's weird.
Australia, too.
Yeah. No, they love that word. That is their favorite curse word.
Yeah,
like it's not even like really a curse word. It's like the first curse word that you like allowed to say
as a kid.
Yeah, you don't hear the F-bomb over there nearly as much as you do here.
Yeah, but you hear
it's
the flippy floppies.
Yeah, like that. You swap the two.
Yeah.
Well, the F-bomb here is a sentence enhancer. Yeah, I learned that from SpongeBob.
You're not wrong.
Wait, what? You learned that from SpongeBob?
Yeah, it's when they all cuss and Patrick's like, "That's a sentence enhancer."
I mean,
you need to watch that episode, dude. That's quality television.
It's not wrong at all.
Make sure your kid doesn't see that.
No, I mean, they don't say the actual word.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but it's a sentence enhancer, Dad.
My kid would definitely be like, yeah, I'm all in. SpongeBob taught me that.
Yeah, exactly.
Your kid rocks.
My kid can be a wild card at times. Well, my youngest kid. My oldest, she's an angel.
There you go.
Your kid rocks, dude.
That's how it goes.
He's a little meathead.
So there you go. Will gets a chance to sue people frivolously.
Well, I'm sorry, Will. Well, you know who's really going to lean into this is Sook. Is going to talk about how many times he's been sexually harassed today, because now being called bald is a sexual harassment.
He likes to call me bald. Can I sue him?
Yeah.
Can that be bald on bald crime?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I can't wait to sue him.
I like it.
I mean,
I've seen his car.
Yeah, I'm sure you've never said anything about him being bald.
Never once. That would never come out of my... I would never harass someone in that way.
You're his doppelganger.
Yeah.
Not at all. Although I do get recognized as him from time to time.
Will can grow his hair still. He has just chosen this life now.
Stolen valor.
I can grow parts of my hair.
It's gonna get where it's gonna get weird is if Will ever shows up with like the Ed Hardy tattoo sleeves, you know, those skin tight shirts.
Yes. Then you're gonna go, oh, what's going on here? That's what you should do for Halloween. You should dress up as Sook.
No, I think Josh Pate is gonna get dressed up as.
You are?
I think so.
I'm gonna tell you, you're about a foot taller than Josh Pate.
Josh Pate, new and improved. I have the same Cole Hoggins. I just need tan pants.
What did you just say?
The shoes. They're Cole Hans. Did I say Hoggins?
Yeah.
I got it confused with Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah. It's like Cole Hoggins. Are they like this is clogs?
This is a man who's used to the fine things in life.
That's
Cole
right.
Hoggins.
I combine the ice cream and the shoe company. Two things I love. Dearly.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's our worst day on the web. I did go up to Seattle. I watched the Trailblazers play in person. It happened. So we'll talk some Trailblazers in Seattle against the Clippers, and then yesterday against Sacramento Kings. Preseason underway. Get that and more here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Portland Trailblazers played two games over the weekend.
Hey!
One in Seattle that I drove up for at 5 o'clock in the morning.
All right.
Oy.
How was that? How was Pokemon night? You find...
Pikachu?
Do you go and do the...
the Pokemon.
Catch them all?
I did not. I did not catch them all, but Pokemon was very present. They had a bus full of merchandise outside.
Sick.
The arena was packed to the gills. all of the Northwest basketball royalty was out there. Mm. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf, Dale Ellis, Lenny Wilkins, George Karl. Oh, yeah. Luke Ridenour, who got booed because he put his Oregon O up, even though he played for the, you know, up there.
Sound
Brandon Roy got put up there, and hey, roaring ovation for Brandon. Pete Carroll was courtside with John Schneider and
Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pete had a rock star effect.
Dude, he is a rock star.
So he was sitting two rows in front of us, and I reserved myself, did not go talk to the legend, the GOAT, and say thank you for some of the best years as a USC guy. But there was a steady like promenade of people going down and taking pictures. And he signed every autograph, took every picture.
Yeah. That reminds me of Roy Williams when he came up for PK80.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was here, and like Roy, when North Carolina was there, he would stop and take pictures and talk to every kid that wanted a photo. Like the guys who understand,
they get it.
The diplomat aspect of their presence in their careers. Like, you've got to connect with that next generation, whether you're going to be coaching them or not. Like, it's that pay it forward. Very few guys understand it that way.
Yeah. And so you had all of the Seahawks, you know, brass there. Jody Allen was there. Burt Kolb was there. Obviously, Pete Carroll, John Schneider, Mike McDonald. And then you had all of the Kraken ownership, which...
Crackheads unite!
The Kraken ownership group, along with some others, will be the ownership group for the new Seattle basketball team.
Okay. Ooh.
So that's
a little nuggy nug.
That right there was talk that there was going to be an announcement at the game, but that was shelved because they're waiting for the Celtics to sell.
Oh, they're waiting for I thought it was LeBron to retire so they can announce Vegas and Seattle at the same time.
Well, that's what they're kind of sorting through, because it sounds like Jeff Bezos might end up being the buyer for the Celtics. Which is a little interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So because Fenway Sports Group obviously has interest because Fenway. But that would mean that they would get the Vegas franchise.
All right.
So,
well, there we go.
But I think you're going to hear some announcements.
By the way, LeBron is part of Fenway Group.
Yes.
Yep.
Which he would have to divest if he wanted to be part of the Vegas ownership group that if Fenway got the Celtics.
Okay.
Spent all that time not talking about the Blazers. Blazers played up in Seattle against the Clippers. Looked okay at times.
They looked shorthanded because they were shorthanded,
they
right?
They were, yeah. Anthony Simons did not play. Shaden Sharp did not play. Robert Williams III did not play.
Denny Avdija because of Yom Kippur.
And then you had no Matisse Thybulle because of a knee. I talked to Shaden. I posted a video from Shoot Around. He was getting shots up. I talked to him in the locker room before the game. Just like, hey, man, how are you actually doing? And Chase's pretty honest about stuff. When he had the core injury, groin stuff last year, he was kind of giving me the nuts.
Not going to work.
I'm not doing good, man. This, I was like, hey, you know, I feel getting, you know, some shots up. He's like, yeah, they cleared me to get shots up, so I'm going to get shots up. So he was, I would say, confident that he would return within the timeline. I'm still going to add 2 weeks and say Thanksgiving because you need a little bit of ramp up period. But he does feel pretty comfortable. Like I think he's going to be fine. Anthony Simons, if this is a regular season game, he would play. I've already seen like a million people text or DM or tweet or reply to comments on YouTube about, do you think the Blazers are shopping him? No. If they were going to shop him, they would have shopped him this summer. They had those discussions.
Preseason's when we're going to do it.
Yeah, Ant rolled his freaking ankle. And I don't know if you've noticed, Scoot Henderson has been awful. So that doesn't help them.
It's not good.
So to be blunt, Scoot was horrendous in Seattle. There was not a redemptive thing about that game. He was sloppy with the ball. His finishing was awful. His decision-making was awful. He didn't have a plan when he drove to the rim, and his confidence was crap. It was rough.
Boy.
It looked like the beginning of last season. It looked just like that.
That's what Blazer fans want to hear.
No, I mean, it was bad.
How was it last night, though?
That was the thing, is you did see the switch flip a little bit yesterday afternoon against the Kings, where in the second quarter, he did most of his damage. I think he had 11 points, five assists, and got in the open court and looked significantly more confident. He has a much cleaner game, 7 assists, 1 turnover. The assist-to-turnover ratio wasn't underwater. Donovan Klingon, game 1, solid. Game 2, much better, very much like summer league. He played, I believe, about 18 minutes in both games. That's about as much as he can play right now. He was gassed at the end of both, and it's just
adrenaline.
7'3", 290
Moving up and down floor. It's tough.
It's going to take him a little while.
Double-double in 18 minutes, though, is not bad.
Productive. He's going to be a per 36 monster. Tumani. Bro. Tumani's a dude. Tumani's a dude. Tumani is a dude. Like, talking to other players on other teams and talking to coaches and talking to the front office and talking to players on the Blazers. Tumani. Tumani is like.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that.
I think I have settled on, while Shaden is hurt, I would rather Scoot come off the bench and they start a massive lineup and they go Ant, 2, Denny, JG, DA. I think I want 2 to start the 2.
Let's go.
I think that's what I want to see. He's, his confidence, his understanding, knowing what his role is, what he needs to do. I said this on the podcast last night.
Defensive presence, man.
Yeah. He knows color inside the lines. Color inside the lines. Now, every now and then, you can step out. Try a little something. Have a little bit of, like, that's what the season's going to be. But he knows who he is and his confidence and the minor tweaks to his shot. He is a guy who you could say would at worst be the eighth man on basically every roster in the league. At worst. And like, I don't think he's like this dyed in the wool, you have to have him as a starter kind of guy right now. Maybe he does that in this season, but he's a very good rotation player. And for getting him for what they did as the thing that they definitely won in that trade, hell of a move. And I think 2 is going to do some good stuff this year.
All right. So, I love to hear that. I love to hear it.
The Blazers play again on Wednesday against the German team, Ulm. And they'll have 2 lottery picks on their team, potential lottery picks, and Ben Seroff and Noah Sengwe.
And then we all get to see him on TV.
On TV debut on the K2 family of networks on Friday.
Okay.
So, and that'll be a cool thing, and you know, we'll walk you through that and what that's going to be like. And there's going to be, I'll just tell you now, there's going to be little hiccups here or there between now and New Year's when they flip everything over to the Rip City Television Network. But we'll kind of guide you through there. Coming up next, though, we have all of the NFL to get into, and we'll find some way to talk some more college football. If not today, then tomorrow. We'll get to that more. It can be around Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.